Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Melanie Curtis.
And I'm Jason Maletsky.
Thank you, legit, for joining us today.
Now, our mission is living and learning, laughing and loving together with you.
We're here to grow and contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust, trusting the entire journey.
Yeah, and on that journey, we often talk about plant medicines, psychedelics, and other avenues of healing. When we do, we are sharing for informational purposes only. We're not doctors or therapists, and we don't promote doing anything illegal.
Inside us all, we have a deep, powerful knowing. We encourage curiosity, healing, and exploration of this consciousness.
Damn straight. Together, our handle is trustthejourney.today. Individually, you can find her at melaniecurtis.com and me at jasonmaletsky.com.
Thank you all again so much for being with us. On to the show.
Welcome to the show. And today, I'd like to welcome Joshua Wall. Joshua is an experienced leader and versatile, and he's been an operator in an array of operational roles that have groomed him for a position within the medical cannabis and the industrial hemp industry. With his start in the United States Army in a dismounted infantry reconnaissance team, or DIRT, Joshua rose quickly in the rank, commanding anywhere between 7 and 100 soldiers. Joshua spent multiple tours in the Middle East, serving in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Upon leaving the military, Joshua was a contractor in Afghanistan conducting threat and vulnerability assessment, TVA, and the protection of high-value individuals, or HVI, in over 30 locations spread throughout Afghanistan. Joshua was a key leader in establishing a revised version of the TVA that the government now uses for assessment in countries abroad. When he returned from overseas, Joshua assumed the role of director of security for a company that dealt with the exchange of foreign currency, transporting millions of dollars of foreign currencies. All high-level transactions were managed and specialized by a team led by Joshua. As the CEO of Serving Force, a private security company that focuses on TVA and HVI and corporate operational consulting based on all upper echelon military veterans, keying in on the military mindset, Jonathan was able to inject those parameters into operational and security protocols with a focus in the medical cannabis industry and industrial hemp processing throughout the Southeast. Ooh, man, you've been a busy guy.
Yes.
Chief Operating Officer with Harvest Connect LLC, realizing the medications that the VA prescribes is a tangled web of addiction, we felt the need to search for more holistic remedies to aid in recovery. As the COO, Joshua is responsible for the leadership, management, and overall operations and sustainability of all Harvest Connect, Grace Leaf, Aspen Tree, Bone Frog Behind the Lines verticals. I'm going to wrap up this very lengthy bio. This guy's done a lot. He's got a lot more coming up. Josh is also the president of the 501c3 Bone Frog Foundation, soon to be rebranded to Behind Thin Lines, to make this less exclusive to the military operations sector and encompass first responders. Well done. We provide therapy, counseling to all those in need, and through his own experiences, he has found great benefit to entheogenic compounds. You'd think I'd know how to pronounce that. Aaron has a passion to educate as many as possible. We've become exhausted by all the military veterans and first responders that commit suicide. And we know that psilocybin is what is needed to aid in each person's struggle to adjust to what is, quote, normal life. The goal of Bone Frog or Behind Thin Lines is to eliminate veteran and first responder suicides. Even one suicide a day is too many. Hear, hear.
Yep. Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, Joshua Wall.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on.
It's awesome. Thank you. You know, I'd like to take us to how did we even end up here, right? Because the fact that personally, myself and yourself are sitting here having this conversation, it is a long and windy road. I'm quite amazed at the journey that life offers us. So I want to put a little backstory in place in order to get us here to today. And then I'm going to hand you the mic and you can take us down the road of where we're going from here to tomorrow. Okay.
Absolutely.
I come from a rough childhood, and one of the saving graces of my youth was marijuana. Now, that just happened into my life and helped me to find a mindset that prevented me from killing anybody else or myself. I was so angry. I was just rage, filled with rage and anger as a young man. And it was anything I could do to calm that. And marijuana was a powerful medicine for me at that time. And it really came in as a blessing at that point in my youth. And it's moved on since then. It stopped being a medicine for me, and I no longer use marijuana or any of it, but it did its job and it worked really well when I needed it. What took its place was skydiving. And skydiving became a medicine for me, and where I could reach out and find a creative source for myself. I could find community. I could find all these different types of self-expression, and I had that need for speed, so it really served well. Now, here's the bridge. Skydiving is a very hooligan or loose kind of endeavor, right? Reckless individuals. And I found competition in skydiving, which had some discipline to it, right? And it requires structure and it requires commitment and requires, you know, a lot more thoughtfulness as to how we operate. And with that competition training and performance came this bridge to the military world. And the military world reaching out to myself and my teammates looking for, hey, you guys have got something going on over here in skydiving that we need more of. We're behind the curve in our world, in the military operations world, and we need what you're doing with skydiving to come into our world to help us along. And so I end up building a company. Completely never on my radar. No plans for this at all. I end up building a company focused on training military operations in the skydiving genre and making friends with and becoming entrenched in this world of a sector that I never understood. The military world, I'm a, you know, rough kid, no upbringing, no structure. And I honestly didn't have a lot of respect. You know, I didn't have the respect and disrespect to me because for not having that respect. I didn't understand it, right? I always looked at the military world as something that angered me because it was a source of violence in my life. When I looked at what it represented violence, it represented war, and I was terrified of it. I was scared of it. And that battle existed within myself. And that during my own journey, I found psilocybin, I found ayahuasca, I found all these entheogenic compounds, helped me to see myself, and in parallel, found this path that ended up walking with a lot of my friends that I made in this journey who had the same journey. They had the same internal battles and they had the same struggles. And what did ayahuasca teach me was it taught me that I needed to have respect for the soldier, the general, people who put their whole lives and dedicated out there to protect those of us who are in those roles, who don't have the warrior archetype. And so I learned this profound and deep respect through plant medicines for the role of the soldier and in society as a whole. So there's this beautiful bridge of being this rough hooligan who didn't respect authority, who didn't respect the military complex, who didn't have any of this, and finding this beautiful bridge in the middle with entheogenics, with psychedelics, and finding healing in myself and ending up in ayahuasca ceremonies and psilocybin ceremonies with these soldiers who are also on the same path. And so I want to say welcome. Thank you for giving me that opportunity to share between us. And I hope that provides the bridge to why we're at the table together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is something that, you know, we definitely have a passion for as a whole. My background, of course, at a young age, starting off with cannabis, partaking into that, also started to get involved with LSD as well as psilocybin at age of about 16 years of age. It was not from a medicinal standpoint. It was more from a party, go out and have a good time standpoint.
Yep,
not even realizing, same with you, absolutely. Not even realizing the benefits of what it was going to bring forth for me. So as I continued down the path, I, at a very young age, was married. And ultimately, sometimes when you get married at a young age, things don't quite work out. At 22 years of age, I was a father already. And ultimately started to seek other avenues to where I could best fulfill my role within society. 9/11 took place. I was 27 years of age at the time. The second tower had fallen. My phone rings, and my grandfather, who's a decorated World War II veteran, Second Wave Beaches, Normandy, fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He called me and said, "This is your Pearl Harbor. What are you going to do about it?"
Wow.
"I'm going to join the military, and I'm going to go as far as I can." So at 27 years of age, which is considered an old man on many standards, I joined the U.S. Army, went in as an infantryman, with plans to take my training as far as I possibly could and make greater strides to be in the special operations sector. Upon becoming a member of 4th Brigade 10th Mountain out of Fort Polk, Louisiana, they had trials for a reconnaissance team, dismounted infantry reconnaissance team, or DIRT is what it's known by. Tried out for that, ultimately ended up making that team and was placed in a group of a very, very eclectic mix of individuals, people from China, full-blooded Navajo, Micronesian, as well as all the other generalized races that we have here in the U.S. And due to that eclectic mix, it enabled us to be that much stronger in our day-to-day operations and when we were over in combat sector. So during that time while I was in, 4th Brigade 10th Mountain was the most heavily deployed brigade in all of the U.S. Army at that time. We did two tours to Afghanistan, the brigade did, and then a long deployment to Iraq of 15 and a half months in 2007, all of 2008, and 2009. We were the straw that broke the camel's back and saw a drastic change in the overall operational environment in Iraq by the end of our deployment, even part of the way through our deployment. So saw some excellent things transpire, but the overall environment when it comes to health in the military is there isn't much of one. You're hard drinking, hard smoking, hard charging, and that's what makes you hard in the eyes of your peers and the other individuals there. Ultimately, as we know, all that does is throw people into a greater chasm when it comes to addiction, when it comes to their mental health, when it comes to their overall stability, their family life. And it is something that is just not conducive to living any type of life that is beneficial while in the military. And it sets us up for failure later on post-military too as well. Upon getting out, after I spent 5 years and 3 months in the U.S. Army, they did something called a stop loss. So they don't have to start up the draft in the U.S. They said, "I know you didn't read the fine print on the very bottom line of your contract, but this can be as much as an 8-year obligation."
Wow.
So I came down on orders and they sent me off to Iraq during that time. And upon returning home, I had had enough. At the time, a 9-year-old son that was living with my mother, and it was time to come home and start raising my son. Came home for a period of time, ended up, before I left for Iraq, met my future wife. Came out of the military and said, "Look, we can start off on a platform to where our finances are going to be able to allow us to do all the things we need to do, but I'm going to have to go back overseas." So I left back over to the contracting world, conducting high-value individual protection and threat and vulnerability assessments. So we'd go into these austere locations, fire bases, combat outposts, and determine what security measures they needed in order for us to have a civilian presence there, because the civilian presence out on the battlefield is fairly large, which a lot of people don't realize that. They take a lot of day-to-day jobs from HVAC to electrical to cooks, and allow the soldiers to be able to conduct security of their locations, as well as operational missions. So after doing that for just under 20 months, returned back home, and that is when the downward spiral started. Went to the VA to seek disability. I got lectured by other contractors that had done 20 plus years as Green Berets, as Navy SEALs. And they're like, what's your disability rating? It's like, I'm fine. I don't need a disability rating. And they're like, just wait. The wheels are going to start falling off.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, they did. I went and sought that and then entered the VA system. And that is when the mass quantities of pharmaceuticals started to be pushed in my direction.
Wow.
Yes, it was 9 different prescriptions, everything from painkillers to gabapentin to Xanax to SSRIs to sleep aids. They give us this cocktail, and they're interested in basically subduing us, putting us in a shell, for lack of better words, and keeping us subdued to a level to where we are not functioning properly within society. We should be cornerstones of society, being able to come back home and be able to support the environment around us. And due to all these pharmaceuticals, men are unable to function. They're unable to be husbands. They're unable to be fathers. They are just seeking for what is broken in them, and they are unable to find any of those proper connections. Reason why I spoke of my security company is that is ultimately where all of this started. I connected with other special operations veterans, and a gentleman who's a Navy SEAL came to me and said, what do you know about psilocybin? I said, well, yeah, recreationally when I was young, I partook in that, but I had never done it from a medicinal standpoint. He said, well, you know, there's benefits from the microdosing aspect of it and the macrodose aspect of it. I said, all right, well, tell me more. And this gentleman started cultivating as a hobby. Back in 2019, started as a hobby, and ultimately we were at the time in Harvest Connect going down the path of the cannabis industry, industrial hemp, and in the state of Georgia, unfortunately, that fell flat on its face. There was a number of issues that had come forth from it, and they ended up not putting out any of the licensing. They ultimately, later on down the road, came out with 2 licenses, but took everybody else and pushed them aside, took all of their funding that they put forward through the licensing process and said, we're going to start over. Well, sometimes plan B is ultimately plan A, as we know in life, especially in the special operations sector. And we pivoted to the medicinal psilocybin side of things and the microdosing aspect. And the main focus of that was veteran suicide. I've lost more buddies due to suicide than I ever did in combat actions.
Wow.
And that is just absolutely ridiculous.
Josh, can
you say that again, please, for our audience?
Yes. I have lost more of my fellow soldiers due to suicide than I ever did in combat.
Thank you for restating that. I think that is such a powerful point to push across the table here to say, what are we talking about here right now? That's the point, that we're losing more soldiers to suicide than we are in combat.
That's
a horrible ratio of how we're operating as a country and the way that we're taking care of those who serve it.
That's exactly right.
And Josh, I want to jump in for a second and thank you for all of that sharing. I mean, I think it's so useful to really get a rich understanding of a person's path. And there's so many parts of your path that I'm like, oh, I want to ask about that. And so know that there is a multitude of curiosities coming your way. But one of the things I think maybe I want to start with is you mentioned recognizing the dysfunction of the hardness, the culture of I'm gonna drink, I'm gonna this, I'm gonna be hard, I'm gonna whatever, I'm not gonna, that's how you survived, or that's how you were, I don't know, just I guess taught because of culture how to be in the military and how to be in that phase of your life. One of the things that we're doing here and that I know you guys stand for is changing these narratives around these cultures. And I'm wondering, like, what did it look like, or how did you start stepping out of that culture and being someone who was averse to it? Was that a conscious decision? Did it happen later? Was it, you know what I mean? Like, did that start to happen early on, or, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
It started to happen fairly early on. I come from a religious background, very faith-based, and I saw the system as a whole and what was being focused on as positive, as nothing but negative across the board. When you start to hear sayings like, pain and anguish is nothing but your misery, it's weakness leading the body.
Yeah.
So continue to drive on, continue to push, this too shall pass, which, yes, it does, but it also scars along the way. So men start to carry this additional baggage along with them throughout. And they end up seeking alcohol. They, thank goodness drug issues aren't quite as widespread, but they are still there. And a lot of it has to do with, as soon as you start to bring up any of your mental health issues, anything that's plaguing you, they take you off of your team.
Yay.
They put you behind a desk. They take your weapon away from you, and you're looked at as broken.
Ugh.
So men do not bring those weaknesses up. They don't tell their buddies. They don't tell any psychologist. It's something that we run into all the time with doctors and physicians. They're like, how do I get through to veterans and first responders? I said, well, you're already a little behind the power curve because you're not a veteran or first responder.
Got it.
I said, one of the main issues that we run into is, physicians, doctors, they want to lend you a helping hand. Yes, we want to help as much as we can. I said, yeah, that's fantastic. I said, but a veteran jumps down in the hole with that other vet and says, you see that avenue over there? That's where I just came from. This is what worked for me. Let me take you in that direction. Let me show you this pathway. And breaking this overall mindset of post-traumatic stress, and something we've been big proponents of, is dropping the D of disorder off post-traumatic stress, because it's not a disorder. It's a social coping mechanism.
Amen.
For us to be able to best survive in that environment and bring every one of our brothers home that are to the right and left of us, we have to be able to best adjust to that environment. And with keeping that in the mindset of a disorder, it keeps us in the category of broken.
Yep.
And we're not broken. We are just been in an environment where it is not sustainable to any type of healthy life, and we must seek what best gets us dialed in and in a healthy generalized aura of the environment that we're currently in at that time.
We are not broken.
Yeah.
That just sent tingles all over for real, because how debilitating is that idea? I'm broken,
yes.
Not to mention the cultural pieces that you just described about, I can't say anything because then there will be these literal and very, very real consequences when I show this part of my mental health need. I love it. Thank you.
I completely agree. And I want to put up an idea. You said that we should be coming home as cornerstones of our society rather than put to the side as and I literally was driving down the street the other day and see vets sitting on the side of the road, just sitting on the side of the road, homeless, And the idea that the training, the structure, the all that goes into building up these soldiers, you should be coming back like Spartans returning and celebrating with victory and yes, we have losses and yes, we have pain. But yes, we come back to our families, and yes, we're welcomed back with and held proud and high. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really, just as in the psilocybin and mental health sector, it's really about education. It's about educating our society of, this is the reason why veterans are the way they are. These are the things that they need help with, and this is what they can do for society as a whole. There are very few people, thank God, that ever get exposed to the environments that we've been exposed to, the just horrible effects of war and the things that we truly have to do over there to ensure that we return back home. And upon doing so, the military as a whole needs to do a better job of our integration back into society. Whether we did 5 years like I did, or I've got my buddies, if I would have stayed in May, I would have been at 20 years. And they're being treated the same as I was treated at 5 years. They're being treated the same way at 20 years. And it just shows how broken the system truly is. They give them assets, but it's all based upon them. And a lot of the time, at that point in time, they're just ready to get away from the system as a whole. Their cup is overflowing. They've already been told, you know, thanks, but unless you're willing to put in some more years, you're of no use to us anymore. And they're just trying to get them pushed right down the line and out the door. So, you know, this void just continues to broaden because we've got more veterans in our country than we've ever had in the history of the United States at this point in time. And it just getting these resources out there and knowing that there are other healthy pathways for veterans to seek that are not going to continue to keep them in this shell and get them back to the point to where they were a lot of times even prior to the military. We're seeing guys that are operating at a higher and better level than they ever did even prior to their military exposure.
I have a question, Josh, please. About you. In your share before, you mentioned that the wheels started to come off. And I'm obviously, this is relative to your own unique experience. And I also imagine your experience of the, quote, wheels coming off is surely shared by other veterans as well. If you are willing, no pressure, I'm curious what that looked like. What does that mean? What breakdowns were you having such that you were like, something is wrong here, such that you ended up? And I'm asking this deliberately because then when we start to talk about psilocybin as a true avenue for healing, then people can know like, hey, that's me and that path might be for me too. So that's why I'm wanting that in case someone listening is like, fuck, that's what I'm feeling.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, it was from two facets. It was from a physical as well as a mental standpoint. I've got bulging discs in my back from all the heavy weights, jumping out of helicopters, fast roping band. Your body just starts to degrade. And I found this out when I came home from my final deployment. I'd get about a mile and a half into a run, and both my feet would fall asleep, and it felt like I was running on stumps.
Wow.
Due to all the nerve damage and the bulging discs in my back. And went to a doctor and he's like, all right, well, you need to look at this as a professional athlete. You don't have to be 230 pounds plus a muscle. You've got to get below 200 pounds. It's going to be healthier for your body and it's going to enable you to sustain for a longer period of time. So that was one aspect of it. The other aspect of it, and even more important, was the mental health. When we're overseas, we have two emotions. We have humor and we have anger. Mm-hmm. There's no empathy. There's no sadness. There's nothing in between other than those two emotional fixtures. And when we come back home, that they are still the two emotional fixtures that are most relevant to us. So, my daughter spills a cup of milk. And instead of me going, all right, honey, go grab a towel. Let's clean this up. Don't put the cup too close to the edge of the counter. It's, why did you do this? I've told you about this a million times. Don't sit the cup too close to the edge. And it's because we have this overabundance of adrenaline. So due to the chemical imbalances in our mind, we just throw adrenaline. We don't have any empathy. We can't relate to our wives. We can't relate to our children. Everything is very black and white. There isn't any gray. Which is ironic coming from the special operations side because that's all we do is operate in the gray. But then when we come back home, everything is supposed to be very rigid and very in place for us, and it's not that way. And while you're in the military, you can look to the left and right, and your brother is going through the exact same thing, and he can look at you and go, hey, man, I understand. We're going to make through this together. We come back home, and there's no one there to the right, left to us, and we don't have anybody to relate to. We can pick up a phone and talk to a friend, but unless they're right alongside of you, extending that hand out, jumping down in the hole with you, it continues to be this reoccurring hole that we fall into. And you see many guys get back into addiction of drugs. Their alcohol use goes through the ceiling. Sleep, they're unable to sleep. They're waking up every hour and a half, all throughout the night, and it creates that shell that they're placed in. They're detached from their family, they're detached from their brothers, they're detached from society as a whole, and they're just floating through life. And the guys that become 100% disabled, they receive a check to where they can sustain somewhat without any income, which ultimately just creates a greater void of them falling deeper into addiction, deeper into alcohol abuse, and there being that continued void in between them and their loved ones.
Yeah, this whole experience, I mean, I can look around my friends group and I can think about how many people that I personally know that are either good, close personal friends, first circle personal friends, or business partners, or people that I work with in multiple facets. And I've seen all of these individuals going through the same stories that you're talking about, many of them struggling with the pharmaceutical doping, basically, just doping. And we all know that there's no worse cocktail than pharmaceuticals and alcohol and depression. I mean, this is a road to suicide. It is just clear as day. So I love what you're doing with Bone Frog and the way you're pointing things towards psilocybin as another way to start addressing the lack of the emotional experience. Because now I'm going to turn this into a question: is inside of us all, there is the mind, the body, and the soul, right? The spiritual journey, our intellectual journey, and our physical journey. And it sounds to me like the body is well-trained, right? Like we're soldiers, so we're muscular. We work hard. We know what to do with our bodies to keep them working, but we're mean to them, right? We treat our bodies really badly at the same time as training them really intensely. And the mind becomes very tactical and it becomes very focused and knows how to operate and deal with extreme pressures, just ultimately high pressures. And now there's a big hole here on the side that we're just ignoring completely, which is the spiritual side, which is the connectivity between ourselves, us and ourselves, and others, our community, our family, our earth, everybody around us. And so what I'm hearing is that this missing piece is this connectivity with our whole selves, our entire being, the sad parts, the angry parts, the confused parts, the all parts of self. And I know that you're sitting at the table right now with two individuals who've had the psilocybin journeys, who can relate to how impactful psilocybin mushrooms can be when it comes to touching base, literally just checking in with our own spiritual journey, right? So the question I have for you is, how do you reach somebody in your community and say, here's your first steps, or here's a path? What does that look like as far as the actions that Bone Frog can take and is taking to help people down this journey? Thank you for listening. If you're receiving value from this episode, we would love it if you would show your support for the show by subscribing on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Instagram. You can click the like button, leave us a comment, or share the podcast with somebody directly.
Every month, we host integration coaching circles. These are safely held spaces for those looking to heal, grow, and connect in community. They are beautiful. Alive. So much good work is happening. You are invited to join us. Go to trustthejourney.today/integration. You can join the Trust the Journey family, which includes these integration coaching circles and our private Facebook group where we connect and support each other. Sign up by going to our website, trustthejourney.today, obviously, and click on the orange Patreon button.
Now, it's your support and engagement that make the show possible. We love connecting with you. So feel free to DM us anytime on Instagram with your thoughts at trustthejourney.today. And now I'm back to our regularly scheduled programming.
So a lot of what we're doing, unfortunately, due to the scheduling of psilocybin, especially being in the South here, we do have a location up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey. We're in the process of working on a license out in Colorado too as well. We have finalizing a DEA certified lab here in the state of Georgia. But yeah, what we're doing for the biggest part is word of mouth.
Okay.
Going, helping one particular veteran, he tells five of his friends, three of those friends come to me, and we start the integration process of things. That's why one of the big things that we're a very big proponent of is the microdosing psilocybin. We're firm believers in ayahuasca. We're firm believers in peyote, in, you know, macrodosing. But it doesn't fit every single individual's day-to-day inner workings. They're unable to go to a location away from their family and be able to partake in some of these things. So that's what the reason why we place such a great focus on the microdosing of psilocybin is because it is so gentle. It is something that they can integrate in their normal day-to-day schedule and see some of these lasting benefits over the period of time. So it's all based, of course, every individual, and this is what I tell each person. Yeah, every person is different. Their trauma, their exposures, their prior experience with psilocybin. So it's really getting out and educating people as a whole, because the general persona around fungi, of psilocybin fungi, is it's bad. Yeah, it's something that, people are going to take to augment their mind, to do things that are adverse to the U.S. government, that are adverse to their sociological circles. And it couldn't be any further from the truth. Based with my background, I know that we've been given everything on this planet for us to use, to be good stewards of, to find the proper uses of. It's like I tell people all the time, you're apprehensive about psilocybin, but yet you'll go in your bathroom and you'll put fluoride, put it in your mouth, rinse it around. I said, well, yeah, I could give you a glass of fluoride. You drink that 30 minutes from now, you'd be dead there on the floor. But yet every day you continue to put it in your body. Sugar, various different things out there that are ultimately killing us.
No doubt.
It's like, this is something we've been given. It's 100% addictive, non-habit forming. It gives you this array of different benefits based on the individual. So we spend a lot of time educating, and not just educating veterans and first responders, but also educating the powers that be. We spend a lot of time in D.C., up on Capitol Hill, here locally in the state of Georgia, and you talk to politicians, and they have no clue. Oh, what's psilocybin? Oh, have you heard of magic mushrooms? Well, yeah, I've heard that before. Well, we're microdosing psilocybin, and yeah, that's one of the more gentle avenues I'm bringing things forward to government and military is the microdosing standpoint of things. VA is starting to run clinicals, and the biggest issue that they have in the U.S. military is retention.
Yeah.
And they're unable to keep guys in the military because their bodies are deteriorating, but their mental health is deteriorating even quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get away from that as quick as possible. You've got active duty soldiers that are able to start a regimen of microdosing. You're going to improve their overall mental health and allow them to be better suited for the environments that they're operating in, a more valuable asset for U.S. government as a whole.
Yeah.
So we go out and we try to educate. And that's why I tell people when we are doing integration and we communicate with other folks is this is grassroots.
Yeah. That, and Josh, just to interject, that's one of the questions I had for you was obviously one of Bone Frog's key missions is universal legalization. And that brings forward the question for people who are interested. Obviously, Trust the Journey, we're a platform for storytelling. I know you and Jason met at the Psychedelic Science Conference in Denver. I'm sad I missed you. I was out there too. But the dinner for veterans and first responders at that conference was undeniably for me. I'm not a veteran. I'm not a first responder. I have my own stories, of course, as of course we point to on the show. But that dinner and the stories that were told, so that anecdotal evidence of those stories that are told is a huge part of it. But where I'm going with this is there's also a massive political piece. And so I'm like wondering, what is it that you do to move forward the goal of universal legalization? So you're mentioning we talk to politicians. I mean, Can you give us some more insight about that? Like, do you actually like call them up and make appointments? Like, what do you do to be in service to that political piece, which might feel very, very daunting or off-putting or just confusing or unknown for people such that they wouldn't be able to get into it without a little bit of insight from you?
Well, yes, we face-to-face as well as any type of foundational meeting that we can do, whether it's communication through email, whether it's Zoom calls, any possible avenue where we can get in front of these people as a whole. It's something that people just truly do not have the education on.
Right.
And part of the reason, people are like, when did this all come forth? I was like, well, this has been around for decades. The difference now is we have our decorated war heroes coming home and saying, this is what we want.
Yep.
This is what we need. And this is what we know works. And decades prior, that just wasn't the case. It wasn't something that were in the hands of individuals that the U.S. government looks at and goes, okay, all right, we understand what you're saying. We understand big pharma and how much of this is being placed upon you. You found another viable path. We can tell by communicating with you, by the information that you draw in, that this is something that's working. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at times like cartwheeling uphill.
Right.
But you have to continue to stay in front of these people, to continue to educate them, to provide them with articles that are in major media outlets, providing them with studies that are going on in educational institutions like Emory, for example, and saying, hey, read this, take a look at this. It's time for things to change, because the longer that we wait on this, the more individuals that we're going to lose. Yeah, they throw around a number of 22 a day. It can be as high as 45, 50 a day that are ending their lives. And one more is too many.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many. And that goal of zero suicides is something that we really take to heart. We have a passion for this because our service to this great nation does not end until death. That's the only time our service to this nation expires. So this is a way for us to continue to serve the people of this great nation and those that have served, those that are still serving. And as well, I mean, you look at our country, over 60% of the population is on some form of SSRI like Prozac. Well, we know it's one molecular structure off serotonin. It's the only natural substance on this planet that most closely resembles it. Well, what if we can give you something natural and not place this synthetic compound in you?
Absolutely.
So, education and just it's at times daunting, but it's something that we continue to on a daily basis. Make strides. That's what I do all day long. I'm on the phone communicating with people from all the way up from Washington State down to Miami, Florida, you name it. We're there, we're ingrained, and we're spreading the word as much as we possibly can.
So thank you so much for this work. It is immeasurably valuable. There was something I heard during your talk at PS 2023 which really impacted me. It really landed. And it was the concept that we are the bridge. And when I say we are the bridge, I'm referring to the veterans who are the ones who own and deserve the respect of both the political leadership that's in place in the country and the citizens of the country. Meaning that these are the individuals in our society who have put themselves out to serve and they're in need and they have the tools that they need. They just need permission to use them.
Yes.
And that this will basically break the wave or tip the, be the tipping point of this cultural shift, which we all know is of great value to us. And when I say that, I'm not trying to convert anybody, right? I'm not the hippie that I once was, who's like, flowers and freedom, rent, whatever. I respect that we need soldiers, right? And I also think we can get along a lot better. And part of that is this, if I come from a culture of, a very patriotic American culture, small town USA, right? And somebody that I deeply respect, like a special forces operator, soldier comes back, Navy SEAL, and says, these mushrooms helped me. I used them in a form and in a context, and I want to educate our audience a little bit about microdosing. And microdosing is a sub-perceptual experience, meaning we aren't tripping at the time. We aren't feeling notable effects of microdosing. I took a capsule the other day while I was in a stressed situation. There was a lot of challenging decisions that needed to be made, and I felt myself starting to feel under pressure and starting to be reactive. And I'm like, I'm going to take a capsule and I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to step aside, and then I'm going to come back with my decision on how to respond to this. And for the audience, the microdosing is literally just like taking a capsule of anything else. So since we're in this culture of drug taking, pharmaceutical drug taking, in order to manage the symptoms of whatever circumstances we're in, it seems like a very, you know, it's not a big bridge to cross to say, oh, I could take a capsule with some ground up mushroom in it versus I could take a capsule with some Xanax or Prozac or whatever to deal with the same things. So bring this all back and hand it back over to you is this idea that the veterans are the bridge between society as a whole and leadership of that society, back to that cornerstone example of leading society down a path to self-healing, right? Saying, hey, we need healing more than anybody because we're subjected to more trauma and more stress than anybody else. And so we're coming home with these stresses and we're going to lead by example of how to heal ourselves. I'd like to applaud those who are leading by that example, modeling that. And again, I'll hand you the mic back in the sense of, where do you see the next big actions occurring? What are, because there's the groundswell one by one, right? Which we all know is how culture shifts, right? Culture shifts happen at the individual level, one person at a time. That work is going to continue. What is the headline that Bone Frog is working to push forward to say, we need you to hear this. This is what's important to us.
Well, the biggest headline is, the veteran population, especially on government side of things, is viewed as an asset. There are many politicians that are from the military, and they see exactly what we are able to bring forward as a whole within society. So in doing so, it is presenting this unified front and letting the government know through the education and through our studies and our sample sizes, what we're bringing forth, that there is no other viable path for us at this time other than entheogenic compounds. Everything else is just going to do nothing more than place us in an early grave. So, in being that cornerstone and being that bridge, we have to continue to present ourselves, those that have found these entheogenic compounds, we have to continue to present ourselves as these upstanding cornerstones within society. You get a group of guys in that, no judgment upon them, but covered in tattoos and they've got hair down to their waist. A lot of times the government isn't going to be as forthcoming with listening to them as somebody who comes in a suit, who's well-spoken, who is able to present the true facts of what's coming forth and being able to present examples of people within society that they've already touched base with that have been able to benefit from these actions and partaking in these supplements, this medicine that we're seeing. That is just an absolute life changer.
Yeah.
There's so many men. I wish there was some magical formula to it, but all we found is, it's a quote that Wayne Gretzky used to say all the time. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So we go out and we talk to anybody who's willing to listen and change that overall persona and present ourselves in a manner that is appealing to all other entities outside. You have to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. You have to be able to show the differences that you've made in yourself, in other individuals. And you were talking about some of the next steps. I wish I could say that federal legalization as a whole is just over the horizon, but just like you said, I think it'll continue to be a state by state, just various facets of the entheogenic compound, scheduling changing, everything will be different. Of course, down in the South, we're always behind the power curve when it comes to all this, but when they see the differences, and for big government, it's all about money. See that they're able to receive their cut of things there, it's going to be able to come that much more into focus and allow these individuals to get access to things like this. And as we deal with police, other federal agencies, they really don't have an interest in trying to stomp out the psilocybin aspect of things. It's like, all right, people aren't getting addicted to it. You never hear somebody do a macro dose and the very next morning they're like, hey, I'm ready to do that again.
Right.
I'm good. Right. I'm good. I received the medicinal benefits of it. I feel great. I'm more balanced. I've got better focus. I have a better understanding of my wife and my daughter. This is great. And that's why we compare psilocybin use to like a fresh set of tires on a race car. If you feel yourself not gripping the corners the way you were, feel yourself not picking up the speed the way you were, you're just off the mark. Maybe time for another round of microdosing. And everybody's different than that. Over a period of 4 years, I've done 9 cycles of microdosing. So telling people that, I was like, you're not swapping your pharmaceuticals for this supplement that you have to stay on forever. It's all based on what your needs are. And the integration aspect of it is very, very important. Knowing that they've got somebody to help guide them during this journey that has already gone down that path and is able to present additional growth for them, additional healing as a whole, and allow them to understand that they're not in this alone. There is still this brotherhood, this sisterhood in the military. It may not be based on what particular unit you were a part of. It's based on donning that U.S. patch and still wanting to serve the people of this great nation.
I love the Wayne Gretzky quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, or whatever exactly it was. That's so true. And I relate to that relative to my own willingness to try an entheogenic compound for the sake of my healing, right? Like,
yes.
I grew up Nancy Reagan, just say no to drugs. Like, these political messages make a huge impact. And so I love that quote being applied both in the efforts to change the narrative and reframe politically and broadly and in headlines. And I like it relative to a single person who might be blocked in their own mind around what they've been fed as how they should think about these substances and compounds and what they actually will do or will not do for them. And so it's sort of like, take a shot. Obviously, do your research. Do your research, right? Reach out to people like you or us and like really learn about it to the point where you're at, you can actually discern in yourself, I'm at that ledge, that crossing point, that fork in the road where I get to take a chance. And there's something really powerful about that when we finally, sort of surrender and say, I'm going to try this thing that I don't know anything about, that I've been taught my whole life is wrong, and I'm going to see if it's right for me. Oh, I love that, Josh. Thank you.
And it's unfortunate that that's the generalized narrative. Anytime you go in, and especially some of these stronger entheogenic compounds like ayahuasca, and the first videos that come up and the first information, it's like, it pushes some people away unless they speak to someone like us that has genuine insight on things and realize that, all right, this is being brought forth in this manner because they don't want people to go in that direction.
Yep.
They want people to stay back in the system. And yeah, we could talk for hours about that alone, the system as a whole. They want people entrapped in it. You know, it's, oh, I'm taking this pharmaceutical. We've got to take these two other pharmaceuticals to compensate for the side effects. It's like, no, what if you could take one supplement and it aids you in multiple areas to where this side effect is that you're not going to have these issues. You're going to continue to be able to be this highly functioning adult that you normally were or are seeking to be. And it's just a shame that people aren't given more information on this and aren't presented viable resources from trusted entities other than these big institutions being scared to go toe-to-toe with big pharma on things and say, there's always going to be their lane. There's always a need for modern medicine. But the human species as a whole, big pharma, past 100, 150 years, if that, have really come into circulation. We were focused on the holistic and natural remedies as a whole for thousands of years. And we got away from that for multiple reasons, and it was all based around power and money. And if they can't control something naturally that grows in the wild, then they don't want it around. They're going to make it illegal. And it's getting that changed, letting people know that we're not doing anything besides taking something natural that God's created, drying it, putting it in a capsule.
That's it.
It's all that's being done.
I love what you said there, how you refer to it as supplement rather than as a drug, because very, very, very factually is mushrooms just grow wild in the ground. I lived in Florida for a long time, and we would just go pick them and use them on your counter and let them dry and then just mince them up.
That's right.
And eat them or put them in a capsule or mix them in a smoothie or whatever. And I have my own microdosing regime. I would just have a little jar and I would scoop out a little small tiny serving with a little spoon and throw it in my smoothie in the morning.
Yes.
You know, I'm just preparing my smoothie with creatine, right? With some omegas, with some all the other things that I put in there for my health and nutrition. And that aspect is focused on my mental health as well as actually the reason I take omegas is for my mental health. The reason I take creatine is also for my mental health, for my neural processing net to function well, right?
Yes.
You need those amino acids. I have a couple notes.
Sure.
I wrote the word respect and connect next to each other when I listen to how a vet needs another vet to have that mutual respect. You've been in the trenches. I respect you, and we can connect because we have this mutual bridge, and how thin that line is between anything outside of that. And it's just that wall is in place that says, if you're not inside of this tight knit group, then I can't trust you. And that big word there is trust, right? I need to only trust people that I know that have got my back, right? People that have been there, that know the experience, that can also step up. And now this trust works in different layers, right? So as a veteran or a first responder, this is somebody else who's been in the field together. But when what you were saying earlier about if I put on a suit and I walk up to a politician or a leader within community or industry, I need to be able to present myself as a person who has the same trust, who has the same respect, who I can connect with at a level that represents equally in this genre. And showing up to a business meeting in flip-flops, long hair, and unkempt, you're just not going to get the respect from politicians or from industry leaders that it's going to influence the decision-making that's needed. So the only reason I want to bring this up is because the time that I've spent working with the teams over the years, I've seen this level of professionalism, and it has forced me as an individual to learn this same change in behavior of when we want to influence society, we want to influence culture, we've got to raise our own bar, we've got to raise our own standard of how we choose to express things. Even something as simple as if I say the word magic mushrooms versus psilocybin, these are two very different contexts, right? Pushing magic mushrooms across the table says I'm at a party or I'm a hippie or whatever. I know I'm at some perceived lesser tier in society than if I say I am a first responder veteran, and I've been using psilocybin as a healing agent in a microdosing capacity, right? Do you have any closing statements or things that last things we'd like to share before we bring this episode to a close?
Well, yeah, definitely. You talked about that connection within the veteran community. And of course, when we first started off, it was solely focused on the veteran population. But as we got about a year into things, we realized that our brothers and sisters that are first responders, how closely their system is related to ours, how they hold themselves within society, and the overall lack of attention that is being put towards suicide of our first responders too as well. Believe it or not, a lot of suicides that transpire within the first responder community, it is categorized as a on-duty accident, so their family are able to receive all the benefits of them no longer existing.
Wow.
So these factors are swept under the rug.
That's both good and bad at the same time.
It is. So, these guys, that's the thing about veterans and military. We go into an environment, we stay in that environment for a period of time, and then we return back home. These guys every single day are going into their environment and then coming back home and needing to be a good father, a good husband, and they're just detached from how to do so anymore. So we really started to place a focus on the first responder community too as well, connecting with officers in police, in fire that deal with the mental health aspect of it and getting them on board and educated on the psilocybin facet. And that's why continue to go back to the microdosing aspect of it. Giving something to somebody that is not going to take them away from their job and only make them better at it is a selling point that any institution would be interested in partaking.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to change that, just like you were saying, the just say no years. Mm-hmm. Oh, magic mushrooms, this is bad. That chemical's in there so animals don't eat it. Well, animals devour it anytime. So that's why. So it's like just getting that education into people and realizing that this is something that we must have within our society to help people mentally, physically, and spiritually as a whole. And without those three pillars, people will continue to fall into those holes, which is the reason why the integration is so important. And keeping this brotherhood and sisterhood together of people that have ventured down the path further than them and letting them know that this is the direction. We're going to do everything we can to make sure this is upstanding on all levels. But until then, we ask for you to help hold this torch along with us and present this unified front.
And Josh, that is beautifully said. If somebody is listening and they're like, that's me, I want to support that or whatever, how can we find you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they connect? Give us all that information and we'll,
absolutely. The easiest route to get more information about us, as well as you can reach out through our webpage, which is www.bff4vets.com, Bone Frog Foundation for vets.com. And you can send an email there. That email comes directly to me. We're not a huge institution, so you get to deal directly with the source. We've got Dr. Ken Hughes, who is on our staff. So we've got some additional tiers to where if there are people that need additional information. But for the past 4 years, every single person that's come through the door to our foundation, I have been the one that has dealt with that individual. So just getting on that webpage would probably be the easiest standpoint, and it will come directly to me and I will communicate with the individual. I can't get past, it's less than 24 hours. You're going to hear.
And I love that.
Love it. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, please. If there's ever an emergency,
mm-hmm.
please state. There is an emergency. I am close to the edge. I will drop whatever I am doing. My family understands. It doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of dinner, and I will reach out to that person individually, and because it's that important. for them to know that they're not alone. Really? They feel like they're alone. They feel like there's no other direction. And there is another direction. There are people that care for them out there. And we are not going to stop until we are able to get this at a level that is sustainable for everyone.
Amazing work, Joshua. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And thank you for carving out the time to be part of our show today. We know you've got a lot of other things going on, and it really shows to us how important your work is to you and to how much you are that cornerstone and pillar in community as a modeling that for others. So thank you. It's been a wonderful pleasure to have you on the show, and I look forward to seeing the growth and the change that's coming.
I agree.
It's an honor to do so. Anything I can ever do to help you guys, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, seriously, for listening, for spending your valuable, valuable time, energy, and heart with us. Every bit of it makes a difference.
Yeah, thank you. We would love it if you could show your support for the show by subscribing on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or follow us on Instagram. You can always click the like button, leave us a comment, or share an episode with somebody directly.
Like we mentioned, every month we host integration coaching circles. So, so much good work is happening there. You are invited to join us. Go to trustthejourney.today/integration. The Trust the Journey family includes these integration coaching circles and our private Facebook group where we connect and support each other. Join us by going to our website, trustthejourney.today, and click the orange Patreon button.
Yeah, thanks. It's your support and engagement that make the show possible. Thank you. We're here to connect with you. Feel free to DM us anytime on Instagram. We're at trustthejourney.today. Thank you. We love you.
We love you.
Keep laughing, keep loving, and keep trusting the journey.